to all of you in Christ's name this morning. It's good to be together again in God's house. This morning I felt led to continue my series on marriage and family, and so I've entitled the message this morning, Godly Motherhood. We've looked at the foundation of marriage as God instituted it in Genesis, and have looked at a marriage relationship, a husband's role, a wife's role, a father's role. And so this morning I want to look at the role of a mother. Mothers are special people, and in many ways, mothers express love in a way that no one else can. Proverbs 4:3 says, For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And it sort of encapsulates the heart of a mother for her child. There's something about a godly mother's love and heart that is unique and special. I thought of the story of Solomon when the two women brought a child before him and said they both claimed this was their child. And as they argued over what had happened and explained what they thought was true, Solomon says, okay, bring me a sword and I'll cut this child in half and you can each have a half. And instantly, the true mother heart came out and said, please don't. Don't do that. Give her the child. And Solomon wisely said, okay, now I know who the real mother is. A mother's heart would rather, her mother's heart would rather she be given, the baby be given to the other than for it to be killed. I want to mention, as I have before, I think that mothers, perhaps women in general probably, but mothers especially, have tendency to take on more blame and more, when things don't go well or things aren't as they wish, they take more upon themselves than what is theirs to take. And for us as men, we tend to go the opposite. If there's something wrong, well, it must be someone else's fault. So I want to say this morning that as we look at the role of a godly mother, don't heap upon yourself a long list of to-dos. I want to encourage your heart, bless you this morning in what you're doing. If the Lord shows you one or many ways, I pray that you could be encouraged in your role as a mother. And if he shows an area that you could grow in, then may the Lord have his way in that as well. Many, many times, you mothers are the unsung heroes in the home. You're the ones that are encouraging and blessing your husband and making his work and ministry possible, providing love and care for your children, and preparing them for future service. And it's my perception, and I may be wrong on this, but you can check your own situation, but it's my perception that many of you mothers have carried a greater burden in the past year as you've navigated through COVID. And so I want to bless and encourage you as you follow God's noble calling as a mother. I want to tell you that your role is equally important to your husband's role, and just there are different responsibilities, perhaps less visible at times, but nonetheless just as important. And I want to encourage you as you serve the Lord as a mother. I also want to acknowledge at the beginning here that there are single sisters among us. And as I mentioned in my message to fathers, you play an important role in God's kingdom as well. There are single men who impacted my life significantly. There are also single sisters here who have impacted the lives of other young women and children and those around them. Most of you single sisters have at some point in your lives, and maybe still do, long for children of your own. And those maternal instincts and desires are good and right, and I affirm them as such. And I bless you in your journey and in that wherever you are within that journey, I want to say that much of what I have to share this morning from Scripture can also apply to you as you mentor and love other women and other children. There are also those who haven't been able to have children or perhaps yearn for more than they have. And to you, my heart goes out to you as well in the pain of that journey. And I pray God would meet your needs and provide for your journey this morning. I'd like to start by going to 1 Samuel and look at the story of Hannah. I invite you to stand for reading of God's word here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a lengthy passage, but I think it will be worth our time. First Samuel chapter 1, read the entire chapter, and then we'll read a portion of chapter 2. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim and of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, and of an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the other name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept, and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drank. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass that when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, so shall he be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And then moving ahead to verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which he is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. You may be seated. It's a familiar story, but I think there's some lessons that we can take from it and some things that we can, as it pertains to godly motherhood. Just running through the story again here. So Elkanah had 2 wives, Peninnah and Hannah, and this story is another example of polygamy not working out well. It's very similar to Jacob and Leah and Rachel and their journey, something that was common in the Old Testament and usually created jealousy and irritation and animosity between the 2 wives, and I don't think there's any way to avoid that because of the way that God has wired us and the way that he has designed the marriage relationship to work. And it's a reminder that God's design for one man and one woman truly is best. But they made this yearly trek to Shiloh to worship and to offer sacrifice. And when they came to do that, Elkanah gave portions to Peninnah and each of her sons and daughters. And then King James says, gave a worthy portion to Hannah. ESV says a double portion to Hannah because he loved her. And so clearly, Hannah was the favored wife here. Well, Hannah didn't have children, and this was a deep grief to her. And to any of you who don't have children, I'm sure that you can identify with her in that deep grief. And to make it worse, it appears as though in verse 7 that, especially at the time of this annual sacrifice, that Peninnah would provoke Hannah by what she said. She provoked and prodded and jabbed at her because of her lack of children. And it's possible, I think, that she did this because she knew that Hannah was the favored wife of the two. And this is her way of possibly getting back a bit at her. But the result was predictable. Hannah wept and wouldn't eat. Her husband asks, you know, why are you sorry? Why are you sad and why are you crying? But obviously he knows why, because he says, well, am I not better than 10 sons? Well, Hannah gets up in bitterness of soul and deeply distressed. Weeping bitterly, she takes her petition to the Lord and vows that if the Lord remembers her and gives her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. It's a powerful prayer. Eli sees her lips moving but not speaking and thinks she's drunk, comes to essentially reprimand her. And Hannah says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just in great sorrow and was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Eli, to his credit, backtracks and says, go in peace. May God grant your petition. So Hannah went her way. She ate, and the Bible says the sadness left her countenance. The next morning, they got up, they worshiped the Lord, and returned home. The Bible says that the Lord remembered her, and Hannah conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I've asked him of the Lord. The family continued to offer these annual sacrifices, but Hannah asked her husband if she could stay home with Samuel until he was weaned, and he granted that request, I think wisely. But the time came that he was weaned, and there's many think it's perhaps in the ages of 3 to 5. So those of you mothers think of taking your 3 to 5-year-old child and giving him up to someone else. It would have been a very difficult thing. But I think that she obviously had years of time to prepare her heart for that day. But even with that, I think her thoughts and emotions must have been huge for her to process as she prepared for this trip. And I believe that her years of longing for a child brought her tears of sadness and of joy in this moment. Tears of sadness in one way in releasing him, but also tears of joy as she thought of giving her son to God's service. She goes to Shiloh, she brings the child to Eli and tells him that I'm the one that was praying for a child a few years ago. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And then she goes into her prayer, and this prayer is, there's some similarities between her prayer and the prayer of Mary, Mother of Jesus, in the book of Luke. But there's a number of things that she, that I'd like to just highlight from her prayer. Verse 1, she had a rejoicing heart. Verse 2, a worshiping heart. In verse 3, an humble heart. And in in the later verses in her prayer, she also acknowledges God's wisdom and knowledge. She acknowledges strength in weakness and acknowledges God's all-powerful and all-knowing ways. She returned home, and the child Samuel stays in Shiloh, ministering to the Lord before Eli the priest. And then in chapter 2, we're told that Hannah made a coat for Samuel every year when they returned to Shiloh, sacrifice. And I'm sure this annual trip was a special one, one that she looked forward to with great anticipation to see how her son had grown. She ended up having three more sons and two daughters later then. So what can a mother, what can the rest of us, what can each of you sisters learn from Hannah's story? First of all, she took her deep emotion, her deep pain of childlessness, and the deep journey that she was in, and she took it to God in prayer, in honest prayer. You know, God has created you as emotional beings, and that's a beautiful thing. God can handle your deep emotion and your deep disappointments and pain. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord what you are feeling. I think we can follow. Following Hannah's example here is a healthy thing. Secondly, she committed her grief and her situation to God and is able to move forward. And I encourage you as mothers and those who wish to be mothers to do the same. Commit your journey to God. With open hands, release that journey and those outcomes to him, as Hannah did. Hannah moved forward in faith and went her way, and the Bible says that the sadness left her countenance. And I'm fully aware that the journey that was required there was not a short one, and I'm not suggesting that this is some easy flip of the switch, but I invite you in your journey to move in that direction as Hannah did. Thirdly, Hannah worshiped. As mothers, as sisters, intentionally worship the Lord. And I think sometimes we think that, you know, we need to do great things and visible things for the Lord in worship. But I think in many ways, the everyday living, the everyday things that we do, the very basic changing of diapers and doing that mountain of laundry or dishes or helping a neighbor or a sister in the church or helping your teenage son or daughter sort through life's complications. Those are acts of worship as you do it unto God. Fourthly, Hannah was faithful to her promise to the Lord and committed her son to God's service. I want to encourage you as mothers to commit your children to the Lord and release them with an open hand as Hannah did. The Lord will do great things in your heart and your child's heart as you do that, scary as it may be. I heard recently a story of a mother who was struggling with a wayward son and was having a difficult time releasing him to the Lord because she was afraid. Well, her husband encouraged her to release him to God's keeping and God's to allow God to get his attention. And she was afraid to do that because she was afraid of what might happen if a holy God would get a hold of her son who was in trouble. But as she did so, as she came to a place of rest and surrender with that, she said, okay, Lord, he's yours. Please bring him back to yourself. And it doesn't happen this way every time for sure or in this close of a time span, but in their situation, within several months, the son called home and was broken at the end of himself and is asking for help. Commit your children to God's service and to his keeping. Fifth, Hannah prayed. Be mothers of prayer. And I know many of you already are. It's almost seems like a natural, more natural thing for you as mothers to be mothers of prayer. I think you tend to pray more often than we as fathers do, and that's to your credit and something that we as dads can grow in. But we all know of mothers, our own mothers or others who have prayed fervently for many years. I encourage you as mothers to continue that legacy of prayer. That persistence in prayer is a special gift that I think God gives to mothers. May your prayers be like Hannah's prayer, with a rejoicing heart, a worshiping heart, an humble heart that acknowledges God's wisdom and his all-knowing and all-powerful ways as it relates to your children and the kingdom of God. Pray for your children fervently and frequently. Next, Hannah loved and provided for Samuel. You know, this was encapsulated in a sense in which she provided a coat for him every year. I'm sure a great care and love went into that, the making of that coat. I think many of you mothers will understand the challenge of keeping your children in clothes that fit and that work well, and they outgrow them quickly. But what you're doing by providing for them in that way is a good thing. I encourage you to continue loving and providing physical care and provision for your children. And I think many times as mothers are underappreciated. You might feel inadequate or like you can't quite get ahead. But rest assured that as you faithfully continue serving your family and your children, it truly is worshiping the Lord. You are fulfilling God's calling for your life. I'd like to move to the New Testament now. I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. This chapter is in the context of widows and how widows are to be cared for and provided for, but I think it's also instructive for all mothers and as most widows are also mothers, and there's just different ways in which I think there's just a lot of overlap here in 1 Timothy 5. Verse 9 and 10, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Well reported of for good works. Good works are a regular part of a mother's life. She has lodged strangers. This verse talks about lodging strangers, and I think that speaks of hospitality. She's given hospitality. She opens her home to others, both those in the church and outside of the church. She washes the saints' feet. She serves the church and those who are part of the brotherhood, and encourage you as mothers and as sisters to reach out to others outside of your home. Wash the saints' feet. Serve the brotherhood. Relieve the afflicted. Look for ways to minister to those who are hurting. Verse 13 says, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So this is in a negative note here, but just a simple instruction to refrain from idleness and gossip and busying yourself in other people's business. One question you might ask yourself, and I invite you is to do that as well as us as men, am I interested in this situation so I can help them walk closer to the Lord? Or do I just want to talk about them to make myself feel better? Refrain from idleness and gossip. Verse 14, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the home, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It's an honorable thing to marry and to bear children and guide the house. No, not everyone is called to that. That's not everyone's experience. But if it is your experience, it is an honorable thing to do so. Sisters, don't believe for a moment that being a mother, guiding your children, and managing your household is in any way less than any other work or ministry or career. I believe it's tremendously important and tremendously valuable to the kingdom of God, the work that a godly mother does. Paul reminds you not to give opponents of the faith any reason or occasion for slander towards the things of God. And as you follow the Lord, I think you will, you won't give him that, those reasons. Moving on to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're to read the first five verses there. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is that in thee also. The reason I wanted to highlight this passage here is that Paul, as he's speaking to Timothy, he points out Timothy's sincere faith and says this is the same faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. In other words, Timothy has been directly impacted by his mother and his grandmother. And their faith is what led to Timothy's faith. Mothers, don't underestimate how your faith impacts your children. You give a great, tremendous gift to your children if you are a woman of faith. Don't underestimate that impact. You know, as I was studying, I came across the story of Ahaziah and his mother, Athaliah. And the Bible says of her in 2 Chronicles 22, for his mother was his counsel to do wickedly. And the result of that was dreadful. And Ahaziah lost his life. She ended up killing all the seed royal except for Joash, who was whisked away to a safe place. But I mentioned that just to highlight the vast difference between a godly mother who impacts her children with her faith versus Athaliah, who counseled her children to do wickedly. One of the greatest things you can do is point your children to Christ. Yes, they have to come to that decision on their own at some point, but you hold a great influence in their lives. You can't force that upon them, but you can give them the best chance possible by expressing your faith to them. In chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, and speaking to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child he had known the holy scriptures, and that came through his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. His father was a Greek and not a, I don't believe that he was a believer. Which means that even in less than ideal situations, you as mothers have great impact on your children's spiritual well-being, even when your husband is not who he should be. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois taught Timothy the scriptures. Look for ways, I encourage you to look for ways to weave scripture and scriptural principles into your children's lives throughout the day, whether that means highlighting creation outside, whether that means whether you do that in ministering to the needs around you or in the way that you care for them. Look for ways to weave scripture and scriptural principles into your daily experience with your children. Let's look next at Titus chapter 2. Just a few pages following. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I believe this is a scripture that we do well to take note of. And this applies to mothers, this applies to those of you who are single as well. In the spirit of Titus 2, I want to encourage all of you women to reach out to other women, younger than you, sometimes older than you, perhaps as God directs your steps. But speak life, speak friendship, speak encouragement into their lives. Speak admonition when needed. And this will strengthen the body of Christ. Younger women, reach out to older women. I think oftentimes we underutilize the older women among us and the experience and the wisdom that they have gained over a lifetime, and are maybe feel a bit self-conscious in sharing what they've learned with others. But I'm going to suggest that if you're, I'll pick a random age, and there's no special age here, but if you're over the age of 40, for sure, look for others who you can mentor, others who you can reach out to. And if those younger than you are younger than that are doing that, then God bless you as well. Part of what encourages a woman's heart is being able to walk with other women in the journey of life. And so as you, in the brotherhood, I think it's just a powerful thing when there's a mixture of ages and a reaching across age gaps to learn from each other and to be blessed by each other's journey. Encourage each other towards holiness and teach what is right and good. The ESV says, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Again, older women, encourage younger women in these things. Share your experiences and lessons learned. Show them and tell them it is honorable for them to be working at home, keepers at home, caring for their children and families. I think there's a lot of pressure in our culture today for mothers to work outside the home that I think probably has some of its roots in the feminist movement. And I think we probably can affect us more than we maybe see at times. But I want to encourage you as moms to see the tremendous value and spiritual calling you have to pour your primary energy into your home and your children and your marriage. And this is of a high calling of tremendous value. Find fulfillment in God's design, particularly while you have children at home. And there can be a time in life later when your children are gone that God may ask you to serve outside of the home. I would see that as different. But while you have children at home, for sure, give them your primary attention. I recognize that there are situations, this is not just always black and white, there are situations where maybe a father is disabled or not able to work outside the home. Maybe there are short seasons of life where you need to do some extra things to make ends meet. And I understand that. But I want to encourage you that those seasons of life should be short. Take your primary calling to your children first and foremost. And when you do need to work and to do a few things to make ends meet or to help provide for your home, then I encourage you, if you need to do that, to do it in the context with your children. Do something at home with your children, or take your children with you if you're going to do that. If it means lowering your standard of living, then do so, if that makes it possible for you to stay at home. Again, the calling of motherhood and being a keeper at home is a high and noble calling. Don't trade the few short years you have at home for something of lesser eternal value. Let your children see you serve them, the church, and the community. In conclusion here, I just invite you to let God encourage your heart in one area and hopefully many areas. And if God is nudging you to a better place in one area, then God be honored in that as well. Many of these things that we've talked about this morning apply to you as singles as well, as you reach out to other women and other children, and those around you in service. I invite you to follow Hannah's example. She took her deep emotion and the pain of childlessness and expressed it to God in honest prayer. She committed her grief and her situation to God and was able to move forward. She worshiped. She was faithful to her promise. She committed and released her children to the Lord. She prayed. There is great power in your fervent prayers. She loved and provided for Samuel. Continue to love and provide for yours, your children. You're preparing them for future service. And then from 1 to 2 Timothy and from Titus, show hospitality, serve the brotherhood, serve the unbeliever, minister to the hurting, plant scriptural truths into your children's lives, mentor and encourage and bless other women. Value the primary calling of your children, of caring for your children at home, and see it as a noble calling. I'd like to, in closing, yet read a few verses from Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, and then 25 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Mothers, you are great influencers. You are servants who are expending your lives for the sake of your children. You are giving much for the sake of God's kingdom and the future of God's kingdom. May God bless you in that noble calling. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for example of godly mothers throughout Scripture. Thank you for the examples of godly mothers here in our own congregation. Lord, you've given mothers a special place and a special role, a special job.